Next is Joan Morgan.
Hi, everybody. I'm not here, excuse me, to talk so much today about Malcolm as and what he meant as I am to reflect on what he means to us as young people in today's culture. You know, it's amazing. You walk out on New York City streets and Malcolm's undergone a virtual resurrection. You know, it's like the man has awoken from the dead. He's on every bag. He's on chest. He's in earrings. He's around people's necks. He's here, and his presence is significant and needs to be analyzed. When Joe asked me if I felt that all of this, because it is a commercial venture, there are people out there who are making a lot of money off selling Malcolm's image, if I felt the man was being sold out. And I'd like to say that I don't think he is, but we have to examine the issue, which has a lot of layers, and put it into a larger context. I think that it would be political naivete to think that this resurgence of Malcolm's image, which in many respects for a lot of us is mere iconography, a lot of us are wearing the man's image and we don't know what he was about. We don't know. To think that this is indicative for many of us of a fully developed understanding of Malcolm or his principles is erroneous thinking. As much as I would love to believe that there's a sea of New York youth walking around knowing exactly who Malcolm is, it's not true, okay? And to a large degree, he is so popular because there is a comfortable ignorance about Malcolm. For many of us, we make Malcolm whatever we need him to be. Take, for example, the phrase from "by any means necessary." A friend of mine told me she was out at Martha's Vineyard this summer on 4th of July at the spot called the Ink Spot, which is where all the black folks go. So it's called the Ink Spot. And she got into this conversation with this brother who was sporting a Malcolm X by any means necessary t-shirt. And he was a banker, worked down on Wall Street. And he told her that, you know, he really was proud of himself because he put up a by any means necessary button, which is about what, this big? In his office at work, because he said that it really makes those white folks uncomfortable. And this was his revolutionary act for 1990. Okay? For the drug dealer, by any means necessary is often translated to surviving in an environment that is hostile, that is racist, that leaves he or she no other alternatives. So why am I doing this? Why am I poisoning my community? Why am I seeing my brothers and sisters die out on these streets? Why am I risking my own life? Because I've got to do what I have to do to survive by any means necessary. For others of us, by any means necessary means pulling our community up by systems of economic resurgence, by supporting black businesses, by developing multicultural and Afrocentrically based education systems for our children so that when our kids go into these schools, we know who we are. And as someone who teaches, I'd like to say that multicultural education is not necessarily Europe bashing. It is not saying that African culture is more worthy than Asian culture, than Latino culture, than European culture. But it means telling the truth. It means that if you're going to tell African history accurately, that Europeans are awfully bad. And so that is, in many respects, what the phrase "by any means necessary" means to me and others like me. For others still, by any means necessary is a call to arms. And it can be a call to arms for the revolution. It can be a call to arms because somebody dissed your woman out on the street and you didn't like it. By any means necessary. This vagueness is problematic. First, I think that any of us, for any individual to put Malcolm's image on and not make a concerted effort to find out who this man was, what his principles were, his contribution to his community. Does himself a great disservice, and you do your community a great disservice. Because not only do you deprive yourself of a valuable opportunity to learn and garner strength from Malcolm's wisdom and struggle and Malcolm's mistakes, I think he would be the first to admit that he made those two, but we have to remember that there's a danger in blindly accepting or worshiping any individual without knowing what this person stood for. I believe that Malcolm, in many respects, was one of the strongest, one of the most brilliant leaders that this country has seen. But that's only after I did my homework. That's not because people told me and I accepted that. I think that we have a responsibility as young people to do this. If you do not do this, we have no basis for critical evaluation. If we don't go through this process, we not only misunderstand Malcolm, we are not able to apply sensibly and judiciously his principles, and we are also not able to accept what is relevant to us and reject what is not. The only way that we can move forward as a community is to constantly reevaluate, apply what we can, and discard what we don't need. That's by doing our homework. That's by learning who Malcolm was about. If you are going to embrace Malcolm, embrace him for what he is, not for what he is convenient for you to be. So all of that brings me back to, do I think all of this Malcolm's resurrection here, coming back from the dead to join us, is selling out? No, I don't. Because I can remember less than 5 years ago going to conferences on Malcolm X and being one of maybe 10 young people in a room. One of 10. And I look around and there are so many of us out here. And so many of us who, even if we don't know what the man is about, we know who Malcolm X is. That is progress. That is progress. Because once you have opened that channel, once we know who Malcolm is, then maybe if even 20% of the 5,000 people that are sporting his image in New York City learn who he is, we have progressed from 5 years ago. It means that we are open to learn. Now I'd like to get on a different topic. I think that it's undeniable that Malcolm is a symbol of strength and leadership for young men. But I pause when I think of the issue of young women. Recently I was asked, well, Joan, what do you think his impact is on young women? And I'm not talking about the segment of us that's comprised of an educated elite. And I think that if you have the opportunity to be educated in this country, it makes you elite. And I'm not talking about the section of us who were lucky enough to have parents or people around us who knew who Malcolm was and passed that information on. I'm talking about what Malcolm would have called the grassroots, the folks, the people to whom this information is not necessarily accessible. These young women, I don't see sporting images of Malcolm X. I don't see naturals. I don't see dreads. I see doobies. What does it mean when there is a body of young people, young men who are willingly looking strong and beautiful, and I mean y'all do look beautiful, out there with your African haircuts and your dreaded hair, and you have a section of women, your women, counterparts your age, who are walking around with doobies, which, if anyone doesn't know, the effect of a doobie is to make the hair as straight as possible. Who are wearing big gold earrings, who are seeking empowerment, not through themselves, but through their affiliation with men. And often those men are dealers, are men who are not doing positive things for themselves, and are certainly not going to do positive things for these women. If Malcolm is a symbol of leadership and strength, then what does it mean? What does it translate to when a whole section of our community, these young black women, are not being reached? Does it mean that they don't see themselves that way? Does it mean that they don't potentially see themselves as leaders? Does it mean that they don't believe in their own strength? And why? I think that for many of them, that being a strong black woman, an educated black woman in this society, means being alone, means being manless. And I think that as women, many of us have a dreaded fear of being alone. That the choice comes down to, am I cute or am I strong and alone? And that if you are strong and with someone, that in itself is going to be a struggle. So I think when we talk about re-education, it is so necessary to talk about the re-education of these women, that not to compromise, but to believe in, to find that strength. It is there, but no one has said to them, this is yours and you have it, and it's a good thing to have. And I think that it's really necessary to re-educate the brothers out there. Because we're not moving ahead as a people unless you respect us, that you struggle for our equality, and in the areas where we are not equal to you, there are those areas, that you respect the differences. We need that support. And I think that if there is one thing that Malcolm was on his way to seeing, it was exactly that. Thank you.